GM the X with OG at a Yankee King. That made the Yankee hat more famous than a Yankee King. You should know I bleed blue, but I ain't a crypto. But I got a gang of walking with my click though. Welcome to the melting pot. Corners where we selling Africa been modded. Home of the hip hop. Yellow cap, gypsy cap, dollar cap, holla back. For foreigners, it ain't fair. They act like they forgot how to act. 8 million stories out there in the naked. City is a pity, half of y'all won't make it. Me, I got a club special, and I got it made. If Jesus paying LeBron, I'm paying Dwayne Wade. Three dice, CeeLo, three cards, Marley. Labor Day parade, rest in peace, Bob Marley. Statue of Liberty, long live the World Trade, long live the King, yo. I'm from the Empire State. Man.
Welcome, BOTC listeners, to another, and this time a special version of the BOTC podcast. We were not with you last week because it was somewhat of a special day. The Christmas season was in full effect, and we were scattered all over the place and unavailable to our computers to bring you the sharp insight and colorful commentary that you've come to expect from the Bring on the Cats podcast. But we are back this week. We will have a fairly short podcast tonight discussing the New Era Pinstripe Bowl that is coming up on Thursday. And then we will hopefully be back with another podcast this week. Maybe next week, though, where we discuss all of the issues that have been going on with K-State basketball. And that will most assuredly be a longer podcast.
And we'll also talk about all the great sales going on at the Manhattan Dillard's.
Make your way out there. It is a Christmas extravaganza at the Manhattan Dillard's. As you heard there with me tonight, I have Panjandrum. I am of course, TB. And we're gonna get into the matchup with Syracuse coming up at 2:30 p.m. Central Time on Thursday. Coming your way from beautiful New York City, Yankee Stadium. All of which are under about 2 feet of snow right now, and I understand that the snow removal process is quite a sight to behold in New York City. I also understand from reading the SB Nation Syracuse blog, Troy Nunez is an absolute magician, great blog name, that about 30 of Syracuse's players still are not in New York City, or at least were not as of this morning. I got to imagine that's cutting into their practice time and preparation for the game somewhat. So anyway, Thursday matches pits 7-5 Syracuse against 7-5 K-State. Syracuse was 4-4 in conference play in the Big East Conference this year, the much maligned Big East Conference, which I don't believe had a bowl eligible team until something like week 8. Of the college football season, somewhere in there. I don't know. It took a while. Anyway, the Orange had wins this year over Akron, Maine, Colgate, South Florida, West Virginia, Cincinnati, and Rutgers. They were 2-5 in games played against bowl teams. For comparison, K-State was 1-4 in games played against bowl teams. Syracuse lost fairly handily to a Washington team that was absolutely demolished by Nebraska earlier in the year. Make of that what you will, as K-State was, in its own right, absolutely demolished by Nebraska in Manhattan shortly thereafter. This is an interesting matchup because Syracuse is a team that we've shockingly seen twice before in bowl games, which is very surprising considering how few bowl games K-State has been to over the course of its history. So, Pan, give me some of your initial impressions on this game. I look at the records and I look at the stats and I think, I don't know what the hell's going to happen. So, let me know what you think.
I see it as kind of the greatest cancel-out game in the history of mankind. Fantastic. Sorry. I consider it one of the, everyone just kind of cancels each other out. It's pretty much, we have a pretty solid offense, especially running the football. They excel at defense. They excel at preventing you from scoring. Their biggest strength as a team is passing defense. They give up, I think, what is it, less than 200 yards a game through the air, which is really kind of plays right into our philosophy because we really aren't going to throw more than 200 yards in a game most times.
No.
So, I mean, their strengths are our weaknesses are their strengths. I think it really just turns into a game where we see who plays better in snow. I don't really think there's anything that you can glean by looking up and down the stat line which says, oh, we hold a decided advantage in this particular phase of the game.
So what you're saying is it's going to come down to coaching, and we just know that we are absolutely loaded at the coordinator position, or at the coordinator level of the coaching game. So how could you not be confident as a K-State fan if it comes down to that?
Well, they do have a 1,000-yard rusher who averages about 5 yards a carry, so that means, you know, you can triple that against us. So I don't know. I think it's going to be an ugly game. I don't really think there's any way around it. All things being equal, I'd probably take the more stout defensive team. In this case, it'd be Syracuse, but their offense is truly atrocious. I mean, about as bad as our defense is. Their offense is really, really piss poor. So it's going to be ugly. But I think, you know, the homer in me just thinking that the Big East is an inferior football conference, I'll probably go with K-State squeaking out a 3-7 point victory. Probably somewhere 17-14, 20-14, 20-17, something like that.
When you initially said that, I thought you were going to say that the final score was going to be 3-7, which I guess wouldn't be shocking, although it would be awfully low even for a game between a defense as good as Syracuse and an offense as challenged as Syracuse is. One of the interesting stats you mentioned the fact that strengths and weaknesses cancel each other out. I thought it was interesting looking at Syracuse's stats. They are really, really awful at giving up sacks. They've given up 31 sacks in 12 games, and they've lost 221 yards off of those sacks, which when I initially see that, I, of course, can't help but think, oh, that's good. Maybe we can get some pressure on their quarterback. And then I think about who we have playing along the defensive line and who we have coaching our defense, and I think, yeah, that's not going to work. So I don't know. That's one of those interesting things to file away. Perhaps their offensive linemen are so bad that we'll see the freshman All-America in Brandon Harrell come out, and he will be a terror, beating his man off the edge and making Ryan Nassib's life hell in the pocket for Syracuse.
True. It kind of reminds me of that 2003 national championship game between KU and Syracuse, when you kind of saw Roy Williams versus Jim Boeheim, and it really wasn't about what team was going to beat the other team. It was about which coach was going to choke less, and that's who was going to ultimately win the game. I really think that, like I said, I mean, everything just kind of cancels each other out as you go down the stat line. It really, I mean, if K-State is really that bad at rushing the quarterback, then it will show in this game because Syracuse is that bad at defending the quarterback. If we can't stop their offense, we really are that bad because they really struggle at moving the football. You know, and vice versa. I mean, really, if K-State's able to run roughshod in your backfield from a pass rushing perspective, then, wow, your pass defense really was that bad. And there is another Iowa touchdown. Sorry, I don't mean to throw that out there.
As you can tell, listeners, we are recording this in the middle of the Missouri-Iowa Insight Bowl, and Pan has a much sweeter setup than I do with a TV in the room where his computer is. I do not have a TV around, so he is keeping me up to date on what's going on.
It's 14-3 with 13.5 left in the second quarter.
Well, I'd say that Mizzou is screwed because Iowa generally doesn't score that many points that quickly. So I would say that things are going the Hawkeyes' way at this point.
Right, and for all of you that are participating in our bowl pick'em, If your intent is to beat me, if Missouri loses tonight, then I'm screwed because I think they were number two on my confident pick list. So I'm out a big point total tonight if Missouri ends up choking this one away.
Well, I blew the previous game to which I had assigned 27 points, and I assigned 18 points to this game. So if Iowa ends up winning, I will be out 45 potential points tonight, which would really put a hurting on my already dim prospects as I stand at 19th in our approximately 50-some person bowl pick'em.
I find it completely not ironic that a guy named Vegas Cat is totally handicapped the field and is leading right now.
I agree 100%. When I checked the standings after those first three games that first weekend and saw Vegas Cat on top, I thought, yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
That's oddly appropriate.
It is completely appropriate. It makes me guess that maybe he went to the local sports book, local for him, and checked all the lines and bet appropriate or accordingly. I don't know. I'm sure he probably won't share his secret, but whatever it is, well done. He is actually, last I checked, he's blowing out the field at this point. He's up a good 20 points, I believe, right now. So, speaking of Vegas and of the line, I think it was interesting that this game, if I remember right, opened with K-State as somewhere in the neighborhood of a 4.5 to 5.5 point favorite. And I haven't looked at it specifically to check, but I believe that the line now sits in the neighborhood of 2 to 2.5 in favor of K-State. So it's pretty obvious that all the action has been on Syracuse. Another interesting point on ESPN's, on their bottom line, when they scroll the upcoming bowl games and they scroll the voting percentage of people who think, what percentage of people think a certain team is going to win. 66% of Americans believe that K-State is going to win this game. I don't know if this is another signal of the decline of American intelligence or what it is, but I am a K-State fan, and I have nowhere near that much confidence in our ability to win this game. Pan, do you have any explanation for the voting habits of the American sports fan?
I think it's more of an indictment on what people think of the Big East as a football conference as opposed to confidence in actually picking a K-State victory or anyone thinking about that. I think they're just lining up Big 12 versus Big East and saying Big 12 team will obviously win. I don't really think you can read much more into it than that.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I mean, you know, the stigma is out there that the Big East is really the, by far, the worst of all the BCS conferences, and I think there's, at least this year, I think that that's probably legit. I mean, you know, NC State just beat the, what I would consider the best team in the conference in West Virginia. I would make the assumption with my number one confidence pick in the bowl pick on that Oklahoma's probably going to run roughshod all over UConn. I don't know. And South Florida's playing in the I don't care what Meineke Bowl. I have no idea.
South Florida is not in a bowl game this year.
No, South Florida is in a bowl game.
Oh, they are? Oh, sorry, I missed that one.
They are in the Meineke Car Care Bowl. I threw that out there as a guess, but no, they are legitimately in the Meineke Car Care Bowl.
You're right. I have that written on my sheet in front of me, and I'd forgotten that South Florida was in a game.
Fantastic. And it's nice to know that they were 3-4 in Big East play, and they were in the Big East race until, what, the very last week?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the thing. Everybody was in the Big East race. And I agree with you on the national perception of the Big East because, I mean, there were times this year, and I'm honestly not sure right now. I haven't looked at the top 25 rankings, but I don't believe that they're – I'm not sure if there is a team from the Big East ranked in the top 25 right now. If there is, I'm not sure who it would be.
It was West Virginia. They were 22nd.
Okay, West Virginia is number 22. There were stretches this season where there was not a single Big East team in the top 25. It took, as I mentioned earlier, I can't remember how long it took. It took into November, I want to say, before a Big East team finally became bowl eligible. I wish I'd looked that up before we started this, but it took forever. Yeah, I agree. The national perception of the Big East right now is that it's just a shit football conference. And, you know, it's odd for a K-State fan to say that, considering that we really are not, you know, nothing approaching a powerhouse football team right now. And to say that about another conference is really kind of amazing coming from us.
Another thing where you kind of say it took that many weeks, I think Syracuse would have been bowl eligible before Halloween, but they played two FCS schools this year like K-State did last year.
Yes.
They filled out their schedule this year with Maine and Colgate. It took them against their win against Rutgers on November 13th to become bowl eligible this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you are right. It took them up until 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, the 10th week of the season. Which, I mean, you know, probably isn't a lot to say for us. It took us a while to get bowl eligible as well, but...
Right.
You know, it took us all the way until the win over Texas, but... yeah, I mean, but of course, you know, K-State had Nebraska and Oklahoma State in at a bowl, you know, eligible Baylor team.
Mm-hmm.
Before we were able to go squeak a win against those scrubs down in Austin.
Yeah, what a bunch of chumps.
Well, it's, you know, when you just dominate a team like K-State does Texas, that's just, you know, what you expect.
Well, I mean, I don't understand why Texas thinks they can beat us. Such a joke of an athletic department.
No, it's pathetic.
They have a storage room in Royal Memorial Stadium that houses all of their Big 12 championship trophies that they've won in the Olympic sports. They're too numerous to actually put on display somewhere. So I don't know what that crap school thinks they're doing.
It probably looks like that scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark where they file the Ark away. Just, there's another championship in rowing that they just filed away in the back of the room, stamped it on a crate, and put it up there next to their gymnastics trophy or something like that.
Probably.
Things that the Capital One Cup, you know, it's meant to track, but no one cares about.
Well, except for that, our friend from Michigan State, who occasionally appears on the blog whenever we make a comment about the Big Ten.
And then starts going off on some tangent on the Athenian philosophy on education, strong body, strong mind.
Well,
and then we just have to remind them that no one gives a shit about lacrosse.
They've wrestled since ancient Greek times. Everybody should wrestle. I don't give a fuck. I really don't care.
I don't either.
But you should have more sports because it's more well-rounded. Well, I tell you what, if we had more money to spend on them, then we probably would.
That's what intramurals and club teams are for. You know, I think that's true.
Absolutely. Well, I don't, especially at colleges, at universities that, you know, don't have large athletic department budgets, I think that's absolutely true. You know, if you can afford to play those sports, and fine, I don't care. I don't have a problem with that, but I just don't understand people who don't understand the economic realities of certain schools. So, how the hell did we get on this tangent? I
was going to say, since we've already just gone off the track, and, you know, we've already pretty much dismissed the Pinstripe Bowl in terms of the football game.
Shows our interest in the Pinstripe Bowl, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, I think that there's, you know, there's a certain sense of, I think, bracket kind of. I think he's been kind of the most dismissive of all of us, but
which is impressive.
True.
There's some competition for that trophy.
Talking about how it's a glorified exhibition game, and it's true. I mean, you know, my philosophy on the bowl game is pretty simple, which is it's 15 extra practices.
Yeah.
It makes the season relevant for K-State fans. It makes the bowl season a little less depressing. You know, and I think with a legitimate chance for 8 wins, I think there's a you know, an 8-5 finish would be fantastic for this program, given where it is right now. I'm not going to necessarily say that it's some sort of jumping off point and that the decade of dominance part two is about to be, you know, those fires will be rekindled with a victory in the Pinstripe Bowl. But I think what it gives you is some positive momentum going into next season. I think it generates some interest in the spring. The recruiting class is pretty much filled out. I think there's probably only about 5 or 6 spots left, depending on if they wanted to ask someone else to gray shirt. You know, if they can wrestle a few recruits away from Mississippi, at this point. If they win a game in New York City, that'd be fantastic. The one thing that I like about the Pinstripe Bowl, to kind of get back on topic, is the fact that because it's in New York, because they're getting so much attention in the city, that's good. I mean, K-State really does a lot of recruiting for basketball inside of New York City. They've tried to wrestle a couple of recruits away from junior colleges in New York City from a football perspective, which I had no idea that even existed. You know, it's nice to know it's there. The Empire State Building was lit up purple, I think, one day. Yep. Bill Snyder rang the opening bell at the Stock Exchange this morning.
Right.
So there's been a very significant K-State presence in New York for the last several days, which, you know, you really can't buy that kind of publicity. ESPN is very much behind the Pinstripe Bowl. It's going to get run on the major network, which is better than, I mean, I'm sorry, our good friends from Rock M Nation. It's better than playing a game at 9 p.m. on ESPN. I mean, granted, it's in the afternoon, but it's still...
Well, hell, 10 p.m. Eastern time.
Well, yeah. I mean, right now, I mean, most people are going to go to bed. I highly doubt that I'll make it through the second half of this game.
Yeah.
So, K-State's going to have pretty good game. They've had a lot of positive momentum from the New York press. They've had a lot of, you know, and generally as I've kind of scanned press for the game, you know, through non-K-State or non-Kansas affiliated papers, the press has been pretty positive. I haven't really read things like, you know, K-State has a horrible defense or picking apart the team's flaws. It's, you know, Bill Snyder's given them another chance, they're bowl eligible again, another turnaround, doing the magic a second time. A lot of positive vibes nationally, which may be part of the 66%. I don't know if people pay that much attention, but I don't know. That may be a reflection of the positive press. I don't know. But
I think you're absolutely right, yeah.
So from that standpoint, the Pinstripe Bowl is great. I mean, I'd rather be that than the Ticket City Bowl down in Dallas, which I know some fans wanted because they could drive to it, which is absolutely ridiculous that you would want a game in the decrepit Cotton Bowl against, you know, Northwestern. You could have a game in Yankee Stadium on ESPN, you know, gigantic presence in the city. I mean, it seems like the entire city of New York is supporting this bowl to bring college football back to New York City. Or you could go play in Dallas's JV Stadium. Either way, you know, you make your choice. To me, it seems like this was probably the best bowl case they could have gotten themselves into, given their circumstance. Had they been 8-4, you could probably have made a... Had they beat, you know, Baylor, or had they beat Colorado, you could have probably said, well, I really, you know, they could have made a play for the Holiday Bowl again, which probably still is a little bit better in terms of prestige, a little bit better in terms of the fan experience, you know, going out to San Diego, but I'm just partial to that city.
Well,
I mean, all things considered, when you're looking at the lower tier of bowls, it's hard to beat the Pinstripe in terms of the overall package.
Yeah, I completely agree with all that. I mean, you know, you said it initially, you know, what is the bowl to us but a glorified exhibition? I mean, I'd make the argument that every bowl game other than the national championship game is really nothing more than a glorified exhibition. And you get to go somewhere, and, you know, ordinarily you would say, you know, yeah, you get to go somewhere that's outside of, you know, your normal travels, which isn't always true. I mean, you got Baylor going to Houston and you have Texas Tech going to Dallas, so really not anything all that exciting for them. So the thing to me is the Pinstripe Bowl is unique. I mean, it's something different. It's in the biggest city in the country. It is in the most recognizable baseball stadium in the country, you know, backed by, you know, the most recognizable baseball franchise in America. It's in the biggest media market in the United States, one of, if not the biggest in the world. For what it is, a bowl game between a 7-5 team from the Big 12 and a 7-5 team from the Big East, you know, or ordinarily nobody would look at that twice, but I think that there probably will be people who will watch this game merely because it is in Yankee Stadium. It's different. It's out of the ordinary. You know, I couldn't name it. We've gotten to the point where I can't name probably more than about 10 of the Bulls, you know, just off the top of my head. But when you talk about a game that's played, when, you know, this has generated enough of a buzz that I would guess that just about anybody who is, you know, could be considered a casual college football fan would say, oh yeah, they're playing a bowl game this year in Yankee Stadium. And, you know, maybe they know who's playing in it, maybe they don't. But I agree, you know, I certainly won't go so far as to say, like, you know, all of New York is, like, so pumped about this because, you know, New York's just too big. You know, there are a lot of people there that just really don't care about college football. And, yeah, I know they had a blizzard. It was a mess to get people there. They're having issues with having practices and things like that. Traffic's a pain in the ass. I get all that. That's fine. But they had flooding in San Diego. The field was covered in water. I'm frankly amazed that they were able to play the Poinsettia Bowl out there because I looked at that field the day before and the pictures, and I thought that I could not believe they could possibly get, could get that field ready to play. I agree that maybe a blizzard in New York City in late December is more foreseeable than torrential rains in Southern California in late December, maybe. I don't know. But, you know, the thing is, most of the people who wanted to get there are going to get there. They're going to get to enjoy the city. They're going to, you know, and I went there this summer. I took my dad. We went to a Yankees game because he's been a Yankees fan his whole life. He's not nearly as old as Bill Snyder, but he's definitely more from the generation when the Yankees were America's team rather than the evil empire, as Austin Meek wrote this week. So it's a little bit more honorable for him to be a Yankees fan than it would be for me if I were a Yankees fan.
You have to throw that disclaimer out.
Yeah, I have to put that in there. And I tell you, we had a great time. If you haven't ever been to New York City, I would certainly recommend that you go at some time to see some of the sights. I want to go back because there was a lot that I didn't get to see because we weren't there very long. But it is a great city. There's a lot of cool things to do. There's a lot of cool things to see. My friend Sean from work was, you know, he's from Brooklyn originally, and he was giving me the rundown. You know, do this, do that, avoid this, avoid that. And he was, he was really pumped about the fact that I was taking my dad, because, of course, he's a big Yankees fan and all this and that. And he was saying, you know, you're going to see where this is filmed, and you're going to see where that's filmed, and you're going to see this building and that building. And, you're probably going to run into a celebrity at some point, if you're outside one of those TV studios and somebody walks by, it's not going to be surprising to see somebody, you know. And that, I think that goes into your point about it being a good bowl game from the perspective that we're getting a lot of media coverage, and we're getting a lot of fairly positive media coverage. You know, like when you talked about how they seem to be focusing more on Snyder Part 2 and the turnaround Part 2 and all this and that, and not talking about our defense, I kind of look at it more and think, you know, they're talking about football rather than Ma and Pa Kettle come to the big city, which I remember from the early 2000s when Nebraska played in the Rose Bowl and got shellacked by Miami, the national championship game that year. I think it was TJ Simers from one of the LA papers wrote column after column making fun of Nebraska fans for being a bunch of backwards hicks. Which is what he does. I mean, that's his shtick. He makes fun of people to get a reaction, and oh God, did he get a reaction? I can't even imagine how many thousands of emails he got from pissed off Husker fans who were mad that he would say something bad about people who grow corn in Central America, or Central United States. I shouldn't say Central America; that would imply somewhere else. But
they don't grow corn there.
I'm pretty sure they don't grow corn in Central America. Sorry, the Central United States. Just to be clear there. So anyway, you know, I mean, it's good. We're not, you know, except for my gaffe on the podcast a few weeks ago, and I made the very obvious and very cliche Little Apple to Big Apple reference. We haven't really heard a lot of, oh gosh, isn't it cool that, you know, the Clampets from Kansas get to come up to the Big Apple and see all the cool sights and things. You know, I like the fact that it seems like, you know, we're getting a lot of good media coverage, and it, you know, we're playing in, you know, really the one bowl game that is, you know, outside of the national championship game, that is really unique. Now, of course, the BCS games are more prestigious and will be watched by more people, but, you know, for where we are, a 7-5 team, I don't think we probably could have gotten a better bowl game.
No, and I think you're going back to your point about the flooding in San Diego, and I mean, a lot of people have been pointing to the snowstorm as to why it's a bad idea to have a bowl game in New York, and I think that's just a stupid talking point. I mean, this is a freak blizzard. This is not, you know, people are acting like, oh, well, they should have known that it'd snow 18 inches in Manhattan. No, they don't. I mean, that doesn't happen that often. I mean, I went out on YouTube and watched the thunder snow as it rocked through, you know, New York City. They canceled a football game in Philadelphia for the first time since, what, 1940?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a freak blizzard. I mean, you could have landed in San Diego and you could have had torrential downpours when it rains 5 days a year. Or there could have been fires around San Diego. Or there could have been an earthquake. You know, you could show up in Miami right now and you could have heavy rains or, you know, something.
Well, what was that one bowl? What was the bowl game LSU played in a few years ago down in Florida where it just poured the entire time and the field was a complete mess? And
I mean, you could play in Tampa Bay and it could just rain like crazy. You could play in Miami, it could rain like crazy. You could be in Texas right now, and I mean, remember the Cotton Bowl in 2000?
Oh, it gets cold in Dallas.
It was cold. It was snowy. There was ice. It was a horrible atmosphere for people. I was talking with some friends of the family of ours when I was back home over Christmas. They were talking about how miserable they were at the Cotton Bowl in 2000. So, I mean, you can go anywhere south of the Mason-Dixon line and run into freak instances of inclement weather.
Well,
if you really think about what the Pinstripe Bowl has to offer in terms of a fan experience, I mean, you're looking at a football game in Yankee Stadium, which is a novelty in and of itself. You get a chance to go to a game at Yankee. You get to experience Yankee Stadium, and you don't have to go to watch a baseball game, which I think, you know, maybe some football fans are into, but, you know, maybe some aren't. So this might be their only great chance to get into Yankee Stadium to watch a game that they care about, to pay that kind of money to see that.
Right.
It also gives you a chance to experience one of the greatest cities in the world. And it's on December 30th. I mean, you can stick around for another day and hang out in Times Square for New Year's Eve. You know, you can watch the ball drop. You can see Dick Clark if they take him out of carbonite freezing every year to let him host the show.
They prop him up,
or, you know, they have a cutout that just kind of waves. You know, you can go to Times Square and see, you know, New York City on New Year's Eve. So, I mean, it's a really good package for a fan. I think a lot of people were focusing on the negatives, which was the snow, the cold weather. But, I mean, get over it. It's cold. I mean,
we're from Kansas, okay?
Get over it.
Yeah, and the other team is from New York. Are we really going to bitch about cold weather? I mean, come on.
And then the other folks saying, well, it's really, really expensive to get a hotel in Manhattan. Well, I mean, no shit.
Stay in New Jersey.
Stay in Jersey. Well, it takes a long time to drive. Well, no one drives there. Take a train.
Yeah,
I think
try public transportation for once in your life. It won't kill you. Trust me.
I mean, I think a lot of people, if there is a Ma and Pa kettle going to New York kind of sense, you kind of got that when you went on the various message boards. I refuse to name one by name because...
yeah, moving on.
Yelled at for attacking them, but I think that it shows a lack of I don't know, traveling savvy to understand that when you go to major cities like that, you kind of have to find alternate ways. I mean, no. If I want to drive to the Bronx when I stay in Jersey, I don't necessarily want to drive over the GW Bridge. I mean...
Oh, I sure as hell don't want to.
I mean, I've done it. I've been stuck in traffic for 2 hours, but that's because I had to return the rental car to LaGuardia. What you do is you stay in a place like New Brunswick, and you can get a decent rate on a hotel. You can stay in a college town, which is where Rutgers is. It's
right.
kind of straddled between New Brunswick and Piscataway. You just hop on the train, pay, what, $10, $15, $20? It's been a while since I've been there and know what the rate is, but you hop on a train for $10, $15, $20. It gets you to the city in 30 minutes. You can get to the game relatively easily from the train system. Hop back on your train, and if you really want to be, I mean, it's not a bad drive if you wanted to fly into Newark and out of Newark.
Right.
You never have to take a car into New York City. You never even have to go to New York City unless you wanted to go to the game. All it requires is just reading and researching and saying, hey, has anyone here been to New York? You can tell me how to get around. I mean, that's...
Well, and trust me, you know somebody who has lived in New York or is from New York. It's the biggest city in the United States. There are a lot of people that have lived there that have moved away, and they know their way around. And, I mean, to make it absolutely clear, I mean, I shouldn't have to say this, but I will, because I feel like it might get misunderstood. I'm not giving anybody a hard time who decided they didn't want to go just because they couldn't find the time or they didn't have the money. I didn't go because I couldn't find the time and I didn't really want to spend the money, you know, no matter what. I probably wasn't going to our bowl game no matter where it was. It's the people, it's if you said, well, I saved money to go to a bowl game, but I don't have enough because it's in New York City. That's the attitude that I think that we're addressing here, because any normal amount of money that you save to take a plane and stay in a hotel and do the other things that you're going to do on a bowl game weekend is going to be a sufficient amount of money to get you around New York. I went to New York, as I mentioned, this summer with my dad. We flew in. We didn't rent a car. We took cabs everywhere we went, or the subway everywhere we went. You can stay a lot of places in New York City and take the subway right up to Yankee Stadium. You don't have to rent a car. You can take cabs. Yeah, they can be expensive, but you know, if you don't want to take cabs, you can take the train or you can take the bus or whatever is available. It's a city that is based on a different model than a lot of the cities that we're used to out here in the Midwest and the Great Plains. So, you know, I just think that I hope that the people that I know that the people that are going to have a great time. I wish that I could have made it. And you know, it's, I was really dismayed to see people talking about that, saying, oh, I can't go. It's too expensive to go to Manhattan on New Year's. Well, again, don't stay in Manhattan.
Yeah, you're not going to find a Comfort Inn or a Best Western, you know, in the Upper East Side. That's just not going to happen.
I will say I found a Best Western right off of Times Square that was very affordable.
That's crap. You're kidding me.
Hey, I was on a budget, man.
I know, I'm just saying, that's crap. I didn't know they had one.
Oh, yeah, there was. I'm sure that it's expensive as hell on this weekend. But, I found one about a block and a half off Broadway.
Okay, so my point was...
Sorry, I just blew that up.
Well, I mean, my point was, I guess, is that you're not going to find budget hotels inside of the city. And
right.
If you're going to do that, you're going to have to go outside of the city and... You're going to have to find a way to get in town and then eventually take public transportation into the game.
Right. But the thing is, if you go to Dallas, you know, are you staying in a hotel on Mockingbird, you know, down in Midtown Dallas? You know, if you are, great. But if you are, then you're probably staying in Manhattan when you go to New York City. You know, that if most of us, when we go to Dallas, well, I stay with friends generally because I have people down there that I know, but, you know, most of us stay in, you know, as affordable a hotel as we can find that's somewhere, you know, relatively close to where we are in that godforsaken massive metroplex. Going back to Dallas, since you mentioned this earlier and you talked about the weather there, I mean, is there any worse place that you could be if an ice storm hits, which ice storms do hit Dallas with some frequency? Because I don't think that there is a group of people that is worse at driving in bad weather than Dallas in particular, but Texans in general.
You have apparently never been to Atlanta after they've experienced flurries or anything accumulating over a dusting of snow.
I've heard Atlanta can be bad.
Oh, it's awful.
I was there in August, though, so I wouldn't know. It definitely did not snow there in August.
If they experience flurry, okay, well, I'm just getting on travel tangents now.
And that's the problem. We're going to do this, and you're going to talk for 2 hours, and I'm just going to sit here and nod because you've traveled so much more extensively than I have.
Oh, that's okay. I'll spare everyone my stories. But anyways, no, I really don't have much else to say. There is to say about the pinstripe bowl. I to kind of summarize things as best as I possibly can, I really think that it's going to be a pretty slow-paced game. I don't think we're going to see a lot of scoring on either side. I don't think that it's going to be a horribly entertaining game as most K-State football games have been this year. I think it's going to be pretty painful to watch. But it's I think they're ultimately going to find a way to win. And I think that those that do go will have a good time. At least they'll have some good stories out of it due to some of their travel difficulties getting there. And, I hope those that have gone and somehow find their way to this podcast have had a good time and can share some of their it-wasn't-that-bad stories. And we can wrap up the 2010 football season with a positive note, with an 8-win season, and positive vibes going into 2011.
And Pam brings up a good point there. For those of you who may be listening who are in New York, snowed in or whatever you're doing, hopefully you're getting around and seeing some things. And as you mentioned earlier, the Empire State Building will be lit in orange and purple. Tomorrow is the day when it will be lit up in the colors. For those of you, if you're listening, who have made the trip, please feel free to post in the fan posts or the fan shots your pictures, your travel diaries, anything that you feel like posting or can post from your trip. I really wish that I could have made it. As I mentioned, I went to New York this summer, so when you have a higher authority that you have to run certain trips by, sometimes you have to pick your battles, as you know, Pan. God, I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast. Post whatever you got whether it's while you're there or when you get home. And have a great time. I agree with Pan. I think somehow, some way, nobody will be able to explain it, but I think that K-State will somehow pull out a victory in this game. I agree it's going to be ugly, it's going to be slow-paced, it's going to be all those things, but, as we've kind of talked about, to me, the game and the result is kind of secondary to me. They made a bowl game, they got the extra practice, and they got into a bowl game that's getting them as much exposure nationally as any game outside of a BCS game, which no 7-5 team is going to a BCS game. So, I don't know what UConn's record is, but whatever their record is.
8-4.
8-4. All right. So I actually ended up almost sticking my foot in my mouth on that one. Anyway, it's time to wrap this up. This has been the BOTC podcast for the New Era Pinstripe Bowl. 2:30 PM Thursday, K-State versus Syracuse from Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, New York. Thanks for listening, everybody. Those of you who are there, have a great time. Everybody else, go Cats.